In one sense, as we've talked about, the first thing that preceded, the thing that immediately preceded the fall was the naming. So the man named the names of things. As soon as he named the names of things, boom, right into the pit. It's like you have to go through this process of naming the name of all things and finding out that in the naming of the name of all those things, even the ones that are most dear to you, you really don't find the answer. Let's go back to Genesis 1 a minute. 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." You gotta hear this. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Then he leaves that subject. And he says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." He said, it's not good that man should be alone. Then he went through the process of bringing everything in creation before Adam so that he could name it. Why? Because it is a revelation of what must happen in you. You know, that hunger within you says it's not good that you should be alone. And then the process begins of bringing everything in your world before you that you might name it. And as you name it, by the real definition of what the word name is, it loses its mystique to you. It loses its romance to you. By the act of naming, you see through it. And then, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." He named everything, and there was not a helpmeet, there was not a companion for him. The same process has to be repeated in everyone. Do you understand the relationship of the name to the relationship of the union? The union couldn't take place until everything else was named. So to be in the name of, in this case, the bride, here he was looking for the bride, but if the opposite is true, if the bride is looking for the name of Jesus is what's left when everything else you can think about and name and see and understand is gone. Do you see it?
But you can abandon it without naming it?
No. You cannot abandon it without naming it. You have to name it either by experience or by empathy. The reason we no longer live 900 years, if we didn't have the capacity for empathy, we would have to live, who knows, 25,000 years probably. But we have the capacity for empathy. That means we can project ourselves in a situation and with intellectual honesty, see ourselves, see what will happen if we achieve that goal. And by that act, we can name it without physically touching it. That's why you've been given an imagination.
That's why you see it. What are you defining as naming?
Everything.
That doesn't make sense to me. So when you name something, what do you do?
Experience it.
Experience it, understand it, know it. I know you won't, I mean, this is not going to sound very good, but to name it causes it to disappear.
Yeah.
Now, that's why the bottom line of what we're about is, if there's something you feel you want to do, man, we'll do everything in our power to help you do it. Knowing that no matter what it is, it's vanity. But you have to name that name. You have to name it. You have to see the futility of it. If you cannot experience it, the futility of it, by empathy, if you cannot be experience the futility of it by intellectual challenge, but you feel no matter what happens that you must experience, then we will do everything in our power to help you find that. Whatsoever I have, I will give you. Whatever you need, if I don't have it, I'll help you get it. That's the basis of what we're about. Now it's interesting, it's going to be interesting to watch the kids. Because it's going to be interesting to watch Angela. You know, I don't... I mean, she's a grand experiment. Now what's going to happen? What is she going to have to do? Is she going to have to see the stupidity of everything that I had to see? Does she have to experience and run all over the world like an idiot?
You have to freeze your butt off in experiments.
I mean, what is it going to be for her to see vanity, even if since she lived, I think what happens is, what we will do is speed the process up.
It was neat though, you know, I have to say when I was there, I never felt out of anger. You know, I never always, you know, we talked about
aware.
It.
When
with the limited guy.
Oh.
I mean, when we, at Pentecost, you know, we talked about the fact that I take everybody with me, and when I was there, I mean, that's the way I felt. You know what I mean? I still felt anchored in what I was, and I didn't feel that floating sense, you know, like when you're being pushed off. So that was
pretty cool. So this mystery is prefigured in the first chapter of Genesis, second chapter of Genesis, the naming. And by the act of naming everything, there's still nothing. There's still vanity. There's still futility. Who here has taken upper level chemistry?
All right, like you're an all-star football quarterback.
He's Dr. Science.
Yeah, right.
Just seeing if anybody in
Ohio chemistry should take. Or anybody who take organic
chemistry. We only got through high school chemistry. Just
we're doing a chemistry thing now.
Just September, really?
Here.
I started off as a microbiology major.
Oh, God. My gym doctor was the closest thing to chemistry.
Repeat what your chemistry guy told you today.
Oh, we were talking about electrons, and components of things, compounds, and that what happens when something is unstable, it's this thing is missing two electrons, and this thing has two electrons, and they come together. All compounds are trying to get to the point where they're surrounded by 8 electrons. They're all trying to go to the most stable thing, which is being surrounded by 8 electrons. And I was sitting in this class going, because I know what 8 means. It was like the whole universe down to the puniest possible thing is moving toward the resurrection.
Trying to get to 8.
It's all, everything's going to the resurrection.
You know what else is weird?
Or dying to go to the resurrection, searching for the resurrection. Because that's all these things are doing is like, where's the resurrection? Where's the resurrection? And then they find it and they're stable.
Yeah, they're stable.
Which what we would call anchored, they are stable. It just blew me away.
In music theory, one is the tonic or the whatever, and eight is the same as one because an octave is only eight notes, and when you get to eight, it's the same as one.
Oh.
And, and everything is always driving to one.
Right.
Or eight.
I mean, but even in the scale,
But that's why the natural harmonic of life, the music is just the harmonic. And it's always trying to...
Well, in Western music anyway. Huh? That's Western music.
Yeah. No, but it's still even in nine... No. No matter what, how many scales... I'm forgetting eight a minute. I'm talking about they're trying to get... You're trying to reach a point where there is... Where everything is in a state of being of a harmonic.
Yeah.
Now, and that's what it says. I mean, it says, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's groaning and travailing towards eight.
Wow.
Romans 8, 20.
Romans 8.
Romans 8.
We're going back to Genesis. What?
Yeah, that's wild. It's mind-blowing task.
You understand that, I mean, first of all, from the standpoint of sexuality, all sex in some way is related towards the idea that the union, the spiritual union. So just set that aside. But the idea of fear is you have to reach a point where you understand that there is no justifiable fear. We can never fear the things that they fear. Who's they? The world, the Gentiles. So what do? We have the power, the authority, it's part of our inheritance to command our own soul to be at rest. You don't have to stay in that position. Harry says, you know, he's our object lesson.
For a change.
Yeah, I mean, Harry says, I just laid there all night telling myself I wanted a cigarette. I says, say what? Hey, why'd you do that? Well, I just laid there all night and had this battle going back in army, blah, blah, blah. Well, why do you do that? Oh, I just spent all night and I was afraid. Well, why? Why not simply say, I command you, soul, to be at rest? Doesn't that ever occur to you?
It's like a bad movie, you know, like you kill it and then turn around and it gets up again and kill it again.
Usually it takes 2 or 3 hours for me to remember that.
Really? I hate when that happens.
Well, it's part of this thing about
that's what I do. Like, I'll sit and sing out.
Get thee behind me.
Yeah.
Get thee behind me. I've got to tell you. What are you talking about? To the moon.
Okay. The bottom line is that the reason your mind goes, I mean, hear me. Do you understand this? If you didn't think that your mind, if you were certain there was no cheese up that tunnel, your mind wouldn't have any power to go anywhere.
Right.
You understand? If you didn't think there was a reward up there by going in all these directions, you would stop going in those directions.
Yeah.
You understand? Preaching, the reason for preaching, by the foolishness of preaching, the fundamental basis of preaching is there's no cheese up that tunnel.
Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'll be blue. Oh, God! So you just got to name it.
You got to name it and it'll disappear. Now, you can't hide from it. Hide from it. The armor of God does never protect your backside. But hear me. If you didn't think there was an answer up here, you wouldn't keep getting resurrected. You remember this the myth of the Greek myth of where there was this the multi-headed and one of them was gold. And if you cut any other head off, one of the heads, huh?
Yeah.
A hydra. All right. If you cut one of the heads off, boom, it would grow right back up again. Except if you cut the head of the hydra off, there was a golden head, and you buried it under the rock. Then there was one of the 12 battles of Hercules, right?
Where were you at the little thing, Mr.
I
Answer?
Was answering the questions.
You just sit here.
We can leave that aside. It was
a anyway.
Moral defeat.
The point is, the gold represents, it's the myth of your subconscious. They knew more about us than we do now. All you have to do is cut off the main one, and pick up the cross, you die, this evil one is defeated, and you're free. You're free to abandon yourself. You're free to command your soul to be at rest. Remember the Psalms of Ascent in the Hollow. Return to the rest, you wayward soul. Don't settle for less now you've had the whole. Everything else, return to the rest. This wayward soul, this mind, the will, the emotions, this part of you that makes you, it can't be subject to the law of God. The only thing it can do is just be named so it's silenced. That's why we have to, let me go to 2 Thessalonians. Okay, give us the secret, Miss Tyra.
Well, after Jackie's General Electric Power Company, 5 T's, and it goes in alphabetical order.
Oh, I thought they went from the big T's to the little ones. The long. Thessalonians,
yeah.
To Timothy, to Titus.
It's smaller.
They get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Only five?
It's letters.
It's general, it's Romans. You got it? Okay, we got it. It's Acts, it's Romans, it's 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. Then it's general, Galatians, electric, Ephesians, power, Philippians, company,
Colossians.
Then it's the five T's. They go from the big words to the little words. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy.
First
title.
What are we looking for?
What she said?
Blasphemous. Never mind.
What she said? Jackie, what she said?
She said Thessalonians and Timothy have a tight ass.
That's great.
Remember who said?
Right.
She'll never forget that.
Daryl said he was going to come up with two
versions of the anagram thing.
Two.
Not anagram.
One the published version and one the unpublished version.
GEPC.
The unpublished version will be the one everyone
uses. Yeah. It's for the minor prophet.
The unexpurgated version.
Right.
This is so dumb. I got to say this out loud.
Look at my president.
Harry's about to say something dumb.
I'm hearing about your dream, then you're making fun of me about. I spent 40.
What? Making fun of you about what?
About laying.
Would I make fun of you about something?
I want to hear. I spent 45 minutes before I got up this morning laying in bed, rehearsing and wondering if I could commit suicide by driving my head forward onto the blade of an axe.
Harry! Why?
It's 45 minutes.
Why?
Seems like you'd be able to figure it out unless
because it was there.
It didn't have a movie to write.
That's what I did. That's why I have to say it out loud. It's so crazy. 45 minutes to see if I could go like this and commit suicide.
You can do it too.
It makes you feel
okay,
like
okay, no. Right. Here's what you do.
What is that, like general Westmoreland music talking?
No. What you try to do, it's a better way. Huh? What? No, just hold your breath until you die.
Mary, I said the
Hey, you can watch yourself while you do it too.
Yeah. And you don't get all bloody and messy.
And then we actually, have
just think of the mess you'd make if you hit, if you wet.
You could pull it right here and lean into it.
What would the circulation off of your
brain? Imagine how bad it would feel to do that for 45 minutes.
Well, kill yourself in the time. Because we have
I'd say, look, Harry killed himself. What's on TV?
Why don't you say, I don't understand. I cannot imagine doing that. Why would you say, return to the rest?
Oh, yeah.
Let me like the picture.
I'd say, quick, look in his pocket. Where's his pocket?
Well, you must have been having a pretty good time. Yeah. I mean, 45 minutes.
Those bacteria quests.
Did you time it?
I don't even think about
it. Well, I know because it was 6:20 when I looked at the clock and I got up to 7:00.
Okay. Trying
to put music to it.
I'm not looking for a solution. It's just so crazy. I had to say it out loud.
Do you understand that the naming of it, and all of that naming of it means, then the power of it is lost. It has no more power over
So,
you.
taking Dominion and naming it our
part and parcel.
Okay, we could even go crazy trying to name it.
But to name it, you have like, to understand it though.
By yourself.
Yeah.
No, you can't understand it. It can't happen alone.
Yeah. Because then it's bouncing off walls. A long time ago about language, about the first time that Adam named the animals was like the first little test he had to pass and fail. I mean, that's kind of going through my head over here. And
yeah, because now Adam.
What was the connection?
Adam failed. He
why did he have dominion over everything? Why did he fail?
Well, he failed because he took himself seriously in the equation. If he his hear carefully. Adam was to be transformed. The innocence was to be transformed into holiness by these tests. And the test was never to put his eyes on himself. By the act of never putting your eyes on yourself, then he would be tested in each of the arenas we are, in each of the arenas Christ was.
That's why he couldn't say, Father, forgive me.
That's right.
That's why he pointed to her.
That's right.
Because why?
Because he'd taken himself seriously.
Fundamentally, right? The seriousness was he had seen himself separate.
And plus, he wouldn't have needed Christ.
Yeah, well, no, but... Yeah, but again... God, in the economy of God, the justice of God, everything had to have been possible at every point along the timeline, otherwise God wouldn't have been just. Yeah. So the act of coming to the transfiguration had to have been possible for Adam, otherwise there wouldn't have been justice.
So
you
part
understand?
Of the naming was even like the naming, or we say the experiencing of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
He'd been able to go through that and then come back.
That's right.
And say, I've done that, that's over with.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
It.
So that's the part really that he failed because
right.
he didn't.
Why is your then again when it then his children, when Cain killed Abel, why is your countenance fallen? Don't you not? If you do well, it's good. If you don't do well, so the sin offering lieth at the door. Always forgive me.
Yeah.
Now here, let's think about naming. The naming of the name.
Does this mean that there was only one thing that needed to be named, and that was the tree?
Eventually, that's true. Ultimately, the only thing that needed to be named was the tree, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
So it's the only thing he was to be separate from.
That's right.
So that's why it says God brought the animals to him to see what he would name them.
Right.
It's actually to see if he would name them.
Right. Now watch this. Now, the last thing to be named. Again, think about it. It's really wild. In all of history, almost every invention that has ever existed, we are living with right now. It's been invented in our time.
Right.
There are more, 90%, over in excess of 90% of all the scientists that have ever lived in the history of the universe are alive today. There have been more inventions, more technology, more than ever. What's happened is more things have been named in our generation than have ever been named before. We've gone deeper and deeper into the atom. We've named and named and named to quarks, to the caissons, to everything else, deep and deep and deep and deep in the atom. And we've gone farther and farther and farther out into space, naming, 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 naming as we've gone. In other generations, there was always the possibility for them to believe that there was, if they could just get to California, then they would be saved.
Right?
If they could just get to there. Well, that's why television exists. Television exists for the purposes of common naming. That's all. Television movies exist so that you can name these things without having to go there.
Yeah, right. Just thinking about that really this is the first century for a fake world that you can have fake music and you can go to fake music to see fake lives and you can look at a TV and see someone else's life and then
it's even worse.
And you can name, you can not only name what's apparent around it, but you can name all this fake shit.
Right. What you can do is you can name the imagery, you can name the imagination, you can name the high places. You understand? I believe that we are the first people to name the high places, ever.
Yeah.
Now, let's see what to name it. What to name really means at the bottom level is to reveal and understand. To apprehend. To reveal, to know, to apprehend. That's what name means. It doesn't just mean giving, well, that's popcorn or something. It means
popcorn.
You understand?
To give it meaning in life and life.
And no, not just that. Not to give it meaning. It's to make so it no longer has any control over you.
Does it also does it mean to separate from?
To create?
That's just an automatic. I mean, that's just what happens.
If you name it, you're separate from it.
It's like when we talked about my job stuff, and you had said that none of this talk will mean anything if what you want to do is stay with the Dallas Morning News to have the prestige.
Right.
And it was like I heard it, but I just went. It was like no. I was just I couldn't touch it. I couldn't get near it. But I heard it, and I knew it was true. And then of course when we talked on study Tuesday night was. When I really heard it, I wasn't afraid of it.
Yeah. That's good.
Listen, you laughed about the reaction I had to Larry and Pam's house, but like I would not go over there.
Well, let's give a background. Harry, for probably reading vibes from me and whatever reason, has been afraid of Pam and Larry's house.
Which house?
The new
Victor
one.
House.
Reminds me of the Lambs, Harry.
They're afraid of the house, and they're afraid. And he was afraid of the apartment house next to it, where his father, or Larry's father, has bought it, a sixplex. And he was afraid of it because he wasn't sure that it was. That he thought there was something wrong with it. There's some high place trip or high place drama going on with Pam and Larry over buying it, etc., etc. And there may have been. Who knows? That's not the issue. But in talking today, you know, I went over there this morning with them and tried to help them organize their thinking and some plan of action. But it's the act then, from in Harry's mind, then.
Well, for me, it's like when we were studying leprosy in my house. I mean, you said it was clean. You said it was okay. It was okay for me to go. I've gone there now. It's like I've named that place now. For me, it's named. I see it. I've got it in here. I can manipulate it. I can do things with it. And I can respond to what they're asking. Both of them are asking. Larry's father and Larry and Pam are asking me for it. But I would not touch it. This is key by using the word touch. I would not touch that until today. Okay. I couldn't touch it.
Well, let's look at the last thing to be named. Last thing in the universe to be named.
Oh, I already know. I thought of this earlier. I'm blown away by this.
You look blown away.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Named.
Who is the man of sin to be revealed?
That's what my Bible says.
Everybody Darryl. Mark through your Bible.
It's in a footnote. It's on Darryl.
Yeah, everybody mark through their Bibles, and wherever it says sin, write your name.
Okay. The son of perdition is
that's
Darryl.
A new Bible. With
the your name here. The
now, the man of sin is revealed. He must be revealed. He's the last one to be named in the economy of God. Who is the man of sin? Who is it to be revealed, seen, and then forgotten? Once it's named, it disappears. You. This evil one. And then, the end can come.
Yeah, the light.
Do you understand? By the naming of the evil one, your mind, you. The one that's been masquerading, this creature, this being, the God of this world, who has been masquerading as you.
Awesome.
This son of perdition, this man of sin, who opposes to himself and he sets him, what does it say? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Who is that?
Jesus.
You, go to 1 Corinthians 6. Keep your hand there.
This is also my debt. And someone wonders about when you bring something to the light, it is light.
Mm-hmm. But make manifest.
That man should be destroyed by the brightness that is coming.
Yeah, that says it down in a little bit. That's where we're going back there.
We're going to Colossians now?
No, we're going to 1 Corinthians
6.
Verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's wild. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now that's a whole incredible meaning, but listen. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What does it just say? Go to 2 Corinthians.
I like that one. What? What? Like somebody answered him.
That sounds like a quote.
Go to 2 Corinthians 16. I mean 6.
Except it's spelled B-A-T. What? What? Avail, avail.
Avail yourself.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Verse 1.
What agreement?
What verse?
Verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. That's all we're trying to establish here. You are the temple of God. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians.
Running out of fingers.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That's what you've done all your life. You've been concerned solely with your agenda, your self-divinity. You understand? There's no other animal on the face of the earth that is concerned and has the capacity to think of itself, separate from life. Be as the birds, be as the lily growing and as a bird flying. But no, I think of myself as separate. I've got to have a separate... Can you think of anything more ludicrous than teaching a dog what to eat?
God, I was in the kitchen today and our cat goes in and out the kitchen window. She was sitting on the ledge. I let her out. She was sitting on the ledge and she was looking at something. She was doing this action. I was just looking at her. All of a sudden, it was like, that's all she does. You know, she comes in and out. She chases stuff. She sits in the grass. She eats. And I thought, but that sounds great.
All right. Back to naming the last thing to be named. Now, I don't want to scare you or anything, but you realize that we may be the only people on the face of the earth that are naming the son of perdition?
Oh, yeah.
The man of sin?
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's true.
Well, at least
maybe
in
our world.
I mean,
no, they are naming us as the son of perdition.
Yeah, but, I was going to point that out.
Huh? You're right, we are.
Yeah, you're right. I said in a speech the other day.
Correct, sir.
I said to for that long story.
Well, what about another 6 days and maybe a lot more.
Oh, God. We're in deep trouble. I'm leaving town.
Again?
The Observer story's running next Thursday.
The Observer story. Oh, and they're sending out
this
photographers.
Is the Bailey one?
This is one that's 40,000 pages long.
Uh-oh. Is it a
copy? I only know about 3 sentences in it, but I'm
limited too.
Get your picture right at that
point. Do you know this is a
3 sentences?
Story?
Okay. What?
All I know about story? Is
enough.
What are the 3 sentences?
Wait a minute.
Okay, let's go. You understand that you are the evil one. Does anybody doubt that? You're opposing and exalting yourself against all that is called God so that you, as God, sit in the temple of God, judging for yourself good and evil, exhibiting yourself to be as God, showing yourself that He is God. Now, you understand that self-divinity is the act of separation. It's the fruit of the fall. Now, once that divinity, once that separation occurs, there can be no right agenda. Do you understand that? There's nothing right that you can do now. There's no good thing that you can do as long as the anchor is separation.
Because then you're under the law.
Well, right? but you're under the curse. It's just fruitless. It's pissing in the wind. No matter how
great it seems. You're stepping on Superman's cape. Whatever you it's just totally evil. There's nothing good. There's no reward. You're not going to get any brownie points. There's no good thing. You got it? Okay, now. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What is he that withholdeth? Let's go on. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, or prevent is a word, let in the ancient meant prevent, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. Now that's what has to happen. First in you. Judgment must first begin at the temple of God.
Well, who is the he and the he that might be revealed in his time? Is that
you?
That's me? Okay.
Until he's taken out of the way.
Wow.
To me, that is, I mean, of all that the doctrine encompasses, that's the hardest. You know, I imagine that's it for everybody, too. I mean, that's the...
The hardest?
The hardest to comprehend, to accept.
No, the hardest to accept, or the hardest to experience. It's like, that's, for me, that's the most painful part of.
It's easier some nights than others.
Yes, tonight it's real easy for Rick.
Yeah.
Hear me very carefully. Hear me. Listen. To be in the name of Jesus requires that you have named the evil one.
Yeah, I think when we were talking about, you know, when you keep telling it, commanding yourself and soul to rest, and it just keeps popping up. I mean, that's really, that's where the key turns in the lock. I mean, you're saying, you know, get behind me, saying, but you've got to also be in, coming with the authority or the name of Jesus at the same time. Know that authority is there, and that, you know, that both things are.
Go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Peter has just been imprisoned. And he's brought before the high priest Ananias. Well, really, it was sort of a dual role high priest. One was a father and one was a son-in-law. It's Ananias and Annas and Caiaphas. They were both of the tribe of the Sadducees. They were really powerful guys. They controlled everything. They were semi-friendly with Rome, so they existed at the good graces of Rome. The Pharisees hated them, obviously. So anyway, and it came to pass in verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
Of believers or?
The believed. What?
I was just going to
ring. Huh? I'll just let it ring. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander as many as were of the kindred of the high priests were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now this is a big meeting. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
Who are they talking to?
Peter and John. Okay. Peter and John. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at the naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what has religion done with that concept of the name?
Magic word.
They've made it a mantra.
Like, presto.
It's not the name Jesus, but the name of Jesus. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
And the name of Jesus requires the disappearing of all other names, including the act of revealing and naming the evil one. What I'm telling you is I feel it, I know it, I've known it for months, that we are about to be set loose in the naming business.
Kids, we're in the naming business.